Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching in our Lewis Center campus. I'm super appreciative of you taking time out of your day to pursue God in the Word and through prayer, especially as we're in this series, looking at the Song of Songs, discussing this idea that human love is this imperfect reflection of God's greater love. And I'll just say, I'm so grateful for how responsive you are to God's Word. I mean, these have... this series has stirred up issues in so many of our human relationships, and you're responding, you're doing the hard work, you're saying, hey, here I am. And I think that's one of the keys that we learned from chapter 7 that we talked about yesterday, is that this whole idea that, you know, the most important relationships in our lives, whether those are friendships or neighbors or families, like they require regular tune-ups, right? We don't want to leave them in the barn and let them collect dust. And especially marriage requires regular maintenance. And so what Solomon shows us in chapter 7 is that he values the Shulamite woman's character as much as he values her physical appearance. There's this balance between character and chemistry that he shows. You know, he says, listen, you're blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing, right? Your belly is a heap of wheat, a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. It was a reference to the Feast of Tabernacles and Pentecost. And he says to her that your eyes are like pools in Heshbon, Bathrabim, by the gate, you know, refreshing deep water pools. It's this recognition that she's so much more than just her physical body. He says your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which, you know, that doesn't seem like it's a great, but it's really good poetry, which looks towards Damascus, right? It's this idea that I'm secure with you, that I trust you, that, you know, if anyone comes against me, you are always on my team, right? Even when I need correction, like, you know, you're on my team. And he just says, you know, I'm held captive by you, but it's not just her physically. It's deeper than that. They're maturing in love. And right there, I mean, she just jumps in really and cuts him off, like almost like mid-statement. And she's like, oh, your love goes down smoothly, gliding over lips and teeth. In other words, it's this appeal that he makes to her character, right? That it's certainly mixed with her physical appearance, but she just responds with love. And one of the things I think is both important and beautiful in their relationship is, though, even though they've been married for a while, that these first love reminders that they have, you know, it's playful and it's intuitive and it's intentional. And it's a reminder to us that we have to carve out time. It's deep and affectionate. So we have to do that. We have to carve out time to each other and, you know, to keep our marriages from kind of becoming this old barn find, right? We have to pay attention. We have to ask questions. We have to invest time. We can't take them for granted. We have to write a note, that letter, that poem, those words. We have to travel. We have to go back to that honeymoon spot like they do in this chapter. You know, we're back when they were dating even before the honeymoon, you know, when their couch was green and the beams of cedar. She calls them out to the woods. You know, we have to pray out loud together. We have to connect the physical and the spiritual. And these daily investments, they really lead to lifelong love. And I felt like it called us back to Revelation chapter 2. When we zoom out and think about God's love for us, right, where God says, you've abandoned the love you had at first. In other words, you've left your first love. You've left me. And I think what happens is we can easily become people with full schedules and empty hearts. You know, God says to this church at Ephesus, hey, you've done some really great things. You fought false teachers really well. And, you know, you've endured suffering really well. But here's something that you're not doing well: loving me. And listen, loving Jesus is why we became a Christian. We cannot substitute activity for God in the place of intimacy with God. Being a Christian without loving Jesus, actively, daily loving Jesus, is like decaf coffee, right? It looks like coffee, smells like coffee, tastes like coffee, but when you drink it, there's just no punch. So what do we do when you've lost that first love sense? The next verse says, remember therefore from where you've fallen, repent, do the works you did at first. So we remember and we repent. He says, listen, go back to when you first came to know me and maybe reflect. And I try and do this often. A lot of times when we're celebrating communion, I'll spend some time and just think about, hey, what would my life be like if I had never met Jesus at the cross? Right? If I had never taken that step that I took when I was in the fourth grade, what would my life be like? I feel like I know. I feel like I know some of the things, some of the potholes that would have tripped me up, like some of the areas of my life that would be wrecked. And so that just creates this opportunity for love for me to remember, and that remembering that leads to repenting and returning. And gives me that sense that I need to always be repenting, always be looking for that inside voice of God. We all want the outside voice, the big loud moments, and those are awesome. But most times I feel like God speaks to us in that still small voice, that quiet voice from His Word every day, reproving us, gently rebuking us, steering us, guiding us towards the life and love that's best for us. So I'm going to pray that into our day and then give you the opportunity to pray. God, I just think about who I could be. I'm certainly not who I want to be today. But I think about who I could be and who I would have been without You. And Lord, I'm so grateful that when I was 11 years old, that You found me, that You saved me, You drew me to Yourself, that You've restored me to hope. Lord, that You've redeemed me to peace. And Lord, I pray that today I will focus on those things. I pray that You would help us focus, Lord, not necessarily on who we would have been, but to focus on who we someday will be, who we are today, Lord, not because of us, but because of You. Give us that sense, that strength, that peace, that hope, that perspective today. Now You take the opportunity to pray, to lean into that still small voice of our Savior.